run the meeting tonight because I'm not feeling 100%, and I may have to exit the back door. So I'm going to give him the gavel, and he's going to run the meeting tonight.
Is AGP ready? Is AGP here? Are you guys ready? Okay. Yes, is everybody on?
And everybody knows that you have to talk into the center of it, not from the sides. It doesn't pick up well on the sides.
Okay.
All right. Call this meeting to order then. Roll call.
Vice President Guerrero.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
President Angelo.
Here.
Director Searcy.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Would you please join us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think what I forgot to do last time is I think I have to move to approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It carries by unanimous vote. Does the board mind if we move some of the agenda items around? Because I think it would probably be best. We do have some reports. I see we have Ken Conway here. If he would like to go first. If anybody has any objection.
Before
I have
public
none.
Comment?
Pardon?
Are we going to do that before public comment?
Does anybody mind if we do public comment after the sheriff's report? Okay. Commander Conway?
Good to see some old faces here. Ken Conway, South Station Commander, Sheriff's Office, with the May and June report. For Oceano, calls for service in all Sheriff's Department activity. For May, we had 380 calls for service or different types of activity the department was involved in. So 380 for June. So far as of this afternoon, we were up to 310 calls for service for a total so far this year of 1,982. For rural Arroyo Grande, what we call the outside, Halcyon, Arroyo Grande behind the city limits and up on the this side of the mesa, we're up to 1,675 calls for service up there this year so far. Mm. And for a total for my station so far is 7,728 for the year. So we still maintain the busiest part of the county, and we've been pretty busy lately. I don't have anything else really for you tonight other than it's summer's out, school's out, so hopefully our burglary rate won't go up. Seems like when the kids are out, we're busy. So if you want to go for year-round schooling, I'd support that. Otherwise, we'll do what we can. But we also completed our town hall meetings for last month. I wanted to thank the directors, Director Lucy, for coming last to the Boys and Girls Club. It was a great presentation. The sheriff appreciated everybody's support, so I'm sure we'll do them again. So any questions from you folks or the public tonight?
I do have a question, Commander Conway. It appears, unless I've just been missing them, it appears that the homeless population might be reduced a little bit in Oceano.
Yeah, we're working trying to get, with Supervisor Teixeira and myself, we're trying to get the recycle center relocated. As I've said before, most of my business, most of my violent crime here in Oceano, and it's a day-to-day problem with the homeless folks that are there at the site. I understand that someone is trying to put in an application to bring another recycle center in next to the old Dominic's Liquor Store there, which we're opposed to.
Is that on 17th Street?
Yeah, right there in that vacant lot. They surround or fenced it off, and they've got a locker put on there right now. So we're opposing that because I just don't need the aggravation with two recycle centers right there. Homeless population, yeah, we've made a few arrests. In fact, we arrested another one today. But I'm hoping they've kind of gotten the message and started moving back into maybe five cities or south to Santa Maria for the summer. But again, that's most of my grief is with those folks during the day. And again, we've talked before. You know, I'm not opposed to the homeless folks here in town. It's one thing. I always say that there's two different types. There's folks that are down on their luck and can't keep a job, and they've had a hard time with the economy. And there are those that choose to be that way. And unfortunately, those are the ones I'm dealing with every day. So there were quite a few out today in front of the old liquor store. But again, we arrested one, so they kind of scattered.
My understanding is on the recycling center, there's a hearing next week, I believe,
right,
in front of the Board of Supervisors, is
correct,
it?
Okay. Yeah. Stephanie Fuss from County Planning is running that. I tried to talk to her in detail about it, but apparently she's on vacation for a few days. So
okay,
hopefully we'll resolve that.
Thank you. Any other questions?
You know, I have, and it's maybe jumping a little bit, and the crimes that you guys mainly handle, you know, are public safety and things like that. But then there's those other hidden crimes. And in an unincorporated area, I'm not quite sure how that works with the sheriff's department. But there are other crimes that occur, like, you know, fraud, you know, crimes against, you know, senior citizens, people with disabilities, you know, government entities, you know, and so on. So how would you go, what's the difference between, like, I guess those would be considered civil?
No.
No?
It's still a crime. You bring up...
it's kind of the invisible crime.
Yeah, the elder abuse. What we're having right now here in town, and I'm glad you brought it up, was they're going around, maybe some of you heard about it, they're going into the old trailer parks, and they're hitting on the old people about buying security alarms and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rampant lately, and it's a Vivant Security. We arrested their director the other night because they're operating without a license. They're from out of state. They're here. They're high-pressure sales, and they're targeting the old folks and scaring them, saying they need alarms and all that. Well, they come in and tell them it's $50, and we install everything for you. But then they're coming back and hitting them with all the hidden costs, and these folks are canceling. So the guys come back around, and they're being really rough on these old folks. So we arrested the director. He's not real happy with us now, but they're out of town. So that's one of the things. Out in the rural areas, we're getting really a lot of problems with landscaping materials being stolen. That's a ring that hits up and down the state every year. And so that's all. They're hitting people here, you know, the whole South County, North County, all different jurisdictions. So, I mean, we have elder crimes. We have, you know, internet stuff all the time, credit card fraud, all the mail thefts. They're getting your mail out of your mailboxes, and they're signing up for credit cards, and these folks are getting hit with all these different costs. So there's just a wide variety of things.
So they should still continue to file complaints with
Absolutely.
Your department, right? So
Absolutely.
You can keep track of them. And you do follow up, right?
Absolutely.
And usually what's the timeline? And say somebody came in and embezzled, like, I'm just going to pick an odd number, $17,000, you know, from somebody. Would you actively pursue that investigation or...
Yeah, those kind of cases, usually embezzlements are either within a business most of the time.
Uh-huh.
They know who the suspect is. It's usually pretty easy to identify them.
Uh-huh.
I have two station investigators that are uniformed deputies that I have here, or I can forward cases to detectives.
Uh-huh.
Most of those folks right now are tied up. Unfortunately, the county's had quite a few murders the last year or so, so most of our criminal detectives are tied up with that. So I try to do it here at the station because most of my guys are familiar with who the folks are.
Uh-huh.
It's more of a community service for my part, and having been a detective for 5.5 years and coming back down here, we kind of know how to run the operation ourselves.
So they should continue to go to the South Station and follow up.
And if it's something that we can't handle, we just took one in, in an embezzlement. My guys here at the station won't do it because it's pretty complicated. There's a lot of documents. So it will go to our detectives, and then they will work with the district attorney. They have a economic crime unit. And one of their criminal investigators at the DA's office handles nothing but economic crimes. He's the expert. So we usually forward our stuff to them. And the DA investigators are just detectives out of the DA's office.
Right. It's just hard that people, to keep them from getting discouraged, you know, because people do want some acknowledgement that this has happened to them and some action. They're not going to get their money back, but at least an action.
Well, I think sometimes if we can develop a suspect, it's great because then we can usually adjudicate the case. I mean, we'll take a start to finish and make an arrest, and it goes to the DA's office. A lot of cases, you know, folks think that we come out and we take fingerprints and we take pictures, and they see everything on TV in an hour and a half or 2 hours, the case is solved. If a lot of times if we don't have a suspect or a good witness, it's going to go unsolved.
Okay.
It's really tough. Absolutely. Thank
Appreciate it.
Any other questions, folks? And again, if you have any questions, come next door. I'm there. I take care of you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any public comment on Commander Conway's presentation? Giselle Naylor?
Just coincidentally, a week before we were scheduled for our interviews for directors, I was doing work in my house and I heard gunshots, and they were near the house, and so my dogs were barking, and I went outside and went to the front of my porch, and I looked over my fence, and there was a guy shooting a rifle at shoulder level up the driveway. He was actually in the cement driveway of my next door neighbor. My next door neighbors weren't home, didn't know he was on the property. So I yelled at him to get off the property, and he was a little bit reluctant, but it was obvious that he was a young person in his 20s, I think, from across the street, from the neighbors that lived across the street. And then there's some young guys that have a house across the street, and when they're off going to work or doing their thing, then the guys that they take in are just on their own. And so this guy had apparently gotten a rifle from the owner. It was the owner's rifle. But the short story is I had to call the police. I had to call 911 to get them to respond 5 times. And the attitude I got, eventually I asked to speak with the watch commander, and his response to me was, "You're the only one that complained, therefore you're not credible." And so 3 more calls, after I got threatened by him for abusing 911, for continuing to call until they sent somebody out to identify the guy. And because he's young, the plan was identify him, ticket him, and then deal with it, you know. They came out. They never ID'd the gun, the model of the gun. They just assumed that it was a BB, and they assumed that he had permission of my neighbor, which he didn't, to be on the property. So I'm wondering if they're getting paid to come out 3 times and they're getting paid for 5 calls to 911 and 3 calls to Sheriff's Administration to get action. Are they getting paid for all those calls, or do they get paid for just one? Because that's inappropriate, and especially since it's summer. You're going to have young kids overstepping the bounds. They don't all need to be thrown in jail. They don't all need to be charged, but they need to be identified. And if they have a weapon, the weapon needs to be identified by caliber, make, and model, and who the owner is, because the owner is just as responsible as allowing a kid to get a hold of that gun. And the response that I was not credible is sheer sexism. It's based on gender.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Any other public comment on that, on the presentation of subsection 1 by Commander Conway? All right, seeing no other public comment, should we move to regular public comment? All right, it's time for public comment. The first one I have up here is Jeff Pinek. Mm-hmm. I've just taken him in the list I've got him.
Okay, Jeff Pinek, Oceano, Surfrider Foundation, slow.surfrider.org. We are an organization, 25-year-old organization, that is here to work on the oceans and their health and everybody who uses them through conservation, activism, research, and education. I'm here as an activist and a educator and a, hopefully, we've done some research. So let's review. We have lots of things going on. It's been 2 weeks or so since the grand jury report came out. We've had a comment from Mayor Ferrara from Aurora Grandy. The grand jury report purportedly offended our mayor. I can't understand why someone who is looking into government mismanagement, our grand jury, would be taken to task by the mayor unless he was unless he has something to hide. Let's talk about the grand jury report. I want to commend Ms. Angelo for the sanitation district, her comment that was also in that same article, for wanting to separate out the engineering and administration contracts of Mr. Wallace. Thank you, Ms. Angelo. The sewage spill, of course, we're reviewing. We've had notice of violations. We've had two employees terminated and or put on leave of absence because of, quote, difficulties with management at the plant and difficulties with who knows what. There'll be civil suits coming for that. But let's get down to the actual sewer management. Sewage spill was likely preventable. When you read this article about the sewage spill likely being having been preventable, the December one that spilled the 350,000 gallons of sewage, could be as many as a million, it said that there were two valves in there that should have been open and were closed, or the other way around, not sure which, doesn't really matter. But if you see that there's rain coming and you see this, if you are managing your sewer plant properly, you take extra precautions to make sure that every valve that should be closed is closed and every one that should be open is open. So that's mismanagement, and that's really negligence, in my opinion. Back to the grand jury report. I'll read till I'm out of time. Consequences of the failure of the board to recognize the conflict of interest, which is what this grand jury report is all about. You can find it online. A long-term contractual relationship that is never subject to competitive bid or other evaluation and enables a continuing conflict of interest that is not mitigated may result in a too comfortable situation that lacks the rigorous oversight and reasonable controls the district ratepayers deserve. I guess I'm done, huh?
Thank you, Jeff.
Mr. Chair, I don't know when to ask you.
Go ahead.
Since we're slim on staff. But I actually think that it's time to put the Sand District on the agenda.
I do, too.
Because Oceano residents have a 33rd and a 3rd investment in that plant. Mm-hmm. So I guess some of us feel like we're responsible for 33rd and 3rd. I'd just like to look at the whole situation. And I know the state's getting ready to pass down the liens for mm-hmm. that mismanagement. And I can't seem to get a straight answer out of who's liable here.
Right.
You know? And so I do think it's time that the Sand District went on the agenda and maybe look at the organizational structure. And I'm not saying take action, but we do need to. I just don't think that we're watching what we should be perceiving as our assets closely enough. And I do thank Director Angelo for speaking up, and I have been attending those meetings, and it needs to be on the agenda.
And I think part of that, there's a lot of not just the management of it, but our ownership of it. Also needs to be addressed, and potential revenues from it, and costs to the
our partners.
Oceano constituents.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely right.
I believe that if it's not too late, we should be proactive on this.
Yeah,
and I would also like to see some type of dialogue with the other cities that are involved to see if we can come to some kind of coalition in how to approach this. At least discuss it.
Yeah, because, you know, I was there for the great Mayor Ferraro speech, and he never said that engineer was Arroyo Grande's engineer. You know, he never disclosed in his when he was being offended, and I just thought this needs to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. So if we could add that to the agenda, I'd appreciate that.
I think that should be added. So for the next meeting, which is the 13th of July?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ms. Pardo, is that... We can do that? Okay, great. And is that a motion? Or do we need a motion?
I move that we put the the sanitation district review on the agenda, not to be confused with the engineer's contract.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Director Angelo.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes by unanimous vote.
And we're reviewing our relationship there.
Right. Yes. And thank you, Mr. Pinnock, for being so persistent in bringing it forward.
The next request for public comment that I have is Jeff Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. There were a couple items I wanted to visit with you regarding tonight. First item is drainage. As most of you know, yesterday was the first day of summer. Kind of amazing it's already here. And yesterday was also the Board of Supervisors' agenda. And on their consent, they had an item that relates to drainage in Oceano. And they authorized the hiring of an engineering firm, and they're going to spend $20,000. Well, I don't think 20 grand is going to get it. You may recall that there was a workshop in late April about the flooding in Oceano, and as many of you know, there were more government workers there than there were residents. On May 24th, the Board of Supervisors had a follow-up hearing on the matter, and little was accomplished, and then, of course, yesterday they allocated the 20 grand. 90% of the discussion that the board's had has been about Arroyo Grande Creek, and yet that hasn't been a problem of late. There's been almost no discussion about Meadow Creek, or very little, and then virtually none about the airport and the airport property. Last Wednesday at the Sanitation District Board meeting, there was some discussion in addition to Mayor Ferrara's speech. There were discussions about the flooding of December 19th at the Sand District and the fines that will come down from the state, will likely come down. Ultimately, who's going to pick up that tab and who's really responsible, I think, is ultimately the question. And so, so far what's clear is that the county has only provided lip service to this problem. It's pretty clear also there's nothing physically will be accomplished by the next winter in terms of physical improvements, drainage improvements. And they may not even have a plan of any sort together by next winter. So I think this board needs to put some pressure on them. The second item I wanted to touch on was this notion of sustainable communities. And Oceano is one of four communities that is going to be the subject of a smart growth discussion. And actually a consultant will be hired to look at growth in Oceano and do a little bit of planning. Through the chair, Ms. Hurdle, you might want to tie this into the advisory council, but RFPs are out that the county sent out, and again, Oceano was one of the four communities in the county that will be part of this sustainable community strategy, looking at smart growth and future development. And the reason I mention is largely because of your interest and the fact that you have a little bit of water and that you might want to deploy in some fashion. So here's a connection. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
For public comment, the next one I had was Stella Lopez.
I'm a resident here in Oceano. And I'd like to speak on the billing of water.
Can you pull the microphone down a little bit, ma'am? Thank you.
This better?
Yes.
I'm kind of a small lady. Anyway, it's gotten to be, I'm doing care for my sister that lives in Santa Maria in Guadalupe. So I'm here and there mostly with her. But I see that my bill has got extremely, I don't use no water, have no gardening or anything, and it's escalated to like $80. I know in comparison I've been a widow for like 16 years, but my thought is that I've been there quite a few years, so I come back and forth. But I was thinking that since there's no usage or anything, that I was just going to turn off my water. And I was told that if I do, and I do want to turn it on later in date, whatever happens, there's a fee cost for turning it back on. It's like maybe like $1,200. I've never heard such a thing, but that's what I was told in the office. And then I says, well, what do you mean? They go, well, they got to pull the meter out. And when you decide to come back, they put the meter on. I go like, so I thought that's why my discussion, I wanted to come forward. I wanted to find out what I need to do, or what is true, what is not true, and where am I going to be standing.
Can I ask staff that she have a clarification on turning off her services versus disconnecting her services? Maybe you could talk at a break. Okay, because, no, you shouldn't. That I think there's been a misunderstanding.
Ms. Lopez, we're going to be going into closed session pretty soon, and Ms. Pardo will still be here. Perhaps you can speak with her. And
yeah, and we'll get it straightened out.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Lopez.
But thank you for coming.
The next person I had was, I believe it's Elizabeth Ray. It says public comment communication. Is that Ms. Elizabeth Ray's writing? Okay.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Ray. I just want to thank you guys, each one of you. You guys have been working your butts off, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the time and effort every one of you have put into it. Each one of you have played such an important role in our community and for us, and us as residents don't realize exactly the pressure and the stress that goes on here. I appreciate you guys not putting your pride in place of your job. That is the biggest thing in communication. That's why I put that on there. I feel like the more you guys communicate with not only each other, but with all of us out here, we're going to be able to help maybe keep the ship floating, you know? And so I don't mean to sound bad or negative, but the thing of it is you guys have actually started to bring yourselves together as a bond instead of each one of you being in these separate little cycles. And I think that's really one of the best things that could have happened, even if we have to hit bottom to get up. Mm-hmm. But I think the sand strip being publicized, the sanitation, all of that being brought out into the light is going to be able to make each group work together as a function, you know, instead of a dysfunction. And I really, like I said again, I appreciate it. And just keep those flows open. And as long as everybody can have the respect in the community as well as on this board, it should work. You know. So thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And thank you for your willingness to help us also.
Well, I think part of the theme has always been keeping the ship afloat, but tonight we need to put a rudder back on the ship too. So, Ms. Giselle, was your comment that you made earlier about the sheriffs, is that the comment you wanted to make for public comment tonight?
The sheriffs before public?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're next up. Thank you, Giselle. I just wanted to clarify because I didn't know.
She's making her way up there. Can I just ask a question about public comment?
Sure.
Do you only get 3 minutes for one person, or can you talk on 3 minutes on different subjects?
They can be on different subjects. They're on the agenda. Like Giselle will probably be up 3 or 4 times tonight.
I talked about the sewer, but I wanted to talk about drainage or something. Could I come up in public comment and have another 3 minutes on drainage?
No, because it's not on. If it's on the agenda, then yes.
Well, you only get 1 3-minute public comment.
Every time.
That's it.
Whatever's on the agenda, 3 minutes for whatever's on the agenda. Each item.
I know that part.
The rules for that testimony are on the back of your agenda, on the page.
The second page.
Has a little description.
Otherwise, we have so many issues. If we put 3 minutes on every issue, can you imagine?
We just have a different meeting every night, you know. Okay, go ahead, Giselle.
Okay, Ms. Angela, restart your egg timer. I know she has an egg timer, a 3-minute egg timer.
I forgot my egg timer. Okay.
Watch the lights there.
There you go.
I'm colorblind. I can't see. There are some general points I wanted to make. This is to put the board on notice that they're over the 10-day limit to respond with certain requests for public records. One is the contract for the new attorney. That should be a public record. We've gotten contracts on related to Wallace and other things, so that should be a matter of public record, and you're over the 10-day limit. Also, I made a public request for a written conflict of interest policy, and I understand you don't have one. Is that true? That's a rhetorical question. and also a cash handling policy. That issue came up, I put the request in a few weeks ago, but it also came up this week because the coffee pot is broken and Miss Lucy authorized Maria, the new bookkeeper, to take cash out of the petty cash drawer to buy a new coffee pot.
A new carafe.
So I think, you know, a written cash handling policy would be important to have. And also, with the water and sewer being a big issue, everybody is new. That's new on the board is hitting the ground running. Wallace is talking about dividing up his contract into two different sections, administration versus day-to-day maintenance. I don't know if I've got that worded right, but there are public documents down there that need to be made public. And final most important thing is just about everybody I've talked to has an inordinate increase in their use of water. And so then the question does arise, and a gentleman brought it up the last time, how is that water flow measured? What physical measures are actually taken if there's a leak to map through the pipes the various areas of the system to find out what's going to actually measure gallons per minute? There's something wrong. There is something wrong. It's not enough to tell everybody, oh, you must have a leak. There's something else going on, because I've looked at people's water bills. I saw one water bill go from 200 to 400. And there's no accounting for that extra usage of water. So something needs to be double-checked at different points in the system as the water goes through various pipes. Thank you.
Thank you, Giselle.
Thank you.
And that's all the requests I have for public comment. Any board
Mr.
Comment?
Vice President, I'd just like to let the board be aware that currently we're in a program right now of changing out a lot of water meters. And, as those new water meters are installed, they're probably going to read a lot more efficient than some of the older ones. And so they're going to be calculating a more accurate description of the water use, which is our intent. And so we're probably going to hear some of that that feedback from the public as they get used to some of the new meters that are being installed. So just make the board aware of that. It's a lot of that issues of some of the higher water usage, and it could have been very well that their meter's been changed out and their old meter was not reading accurately in the first place. So
that's what I've heard from the water guys as well, that some of the meters that were in the ground were reading only at about 60%. And so I know some people are going to feel a double whammy here when they get a new water meter and a rate increase. And so that's why I think we do see some of that. And also, I think it was a 10-week cycle this time. It was a longer cycle, and so the water bills hurt. I noticed that at our business significantly. So we also got a new meter there, too. So any other board comment? No. That would be the end of public comment and a board member comment. I see that there is a representative from the fire department. Do you have a report, sir?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Since, I think the big news tonight is actually administrative item 8A. Would the board have any opposition to adjourning to private session just to do interviews and talk to our people, our applicants, I should say?
Yeah. I don't have any comments.
I have no objection.
Would the board? You know what I think might
be
valuable?
Can you spell out the process for us?
Yeah, this is what I was going to propose. And let me back up on what the process has been thus far. We received a number of applications on Friday, the 17th. President Angelo and I met here. We had a closed session personnel meeting and weeded through a large number of resumes. One thing I think that we both commented on is how encouraging it was to see this quality of people available in our community that are interested in being an interim general manager or working with the district. The We did weed it down. We wet it down. We weeded it down to five people, and we decided to invite each of those people here tonight to have an interview so that we can check their availability and see if they're interested in starting with the district. It'll be a board decision. We had staff. We initially were going to do telephone interviews, kind of initially, but we decided it was just too hard to tell, and that would really be short shifting the quality of applicants that we had. And so we had staff call each of the people that made the final cut to invite them down. Many of the people who did not make the final cut were exceptionally well qualified, and I was really kind of, like I said, encouraged and disappointed at the same time that we couldn't bring more people on. We don't have more positions. What I would recommend for a proposal tonight maybe would be also to allow the public an opportunity to get to see these applicants. We have five applicants that are here tonight. One is John Hollenbeck, one is Rick Kuhn, one is Thomas Gieslin, one is Malcolm McEwen, and the final one is David Kolinsky. And perhaps we should give them 3 or 5 minutes to address the board in open session, let the public hear some of their qualifications. I think Karen White's nodding, and I think that would be helpful. And then maybe take public comment following those presentations. And I'm sorry, I'm catching all the applicants off guard because we didn't tell anybody you were going to be doing this. But you're here to talk about yourself. It should be one of your favorite topics. So.
How much time are we going to allow?
Should we give them each 3 or 5 minutes?
Yeah, maybe we can just let them go.
Oh, do it by the clock? By the egg timer? Okay, why don't we give each 3 minutes, and then I'll take them in the order I just said, because that was the order they were put in our packet, and then we'll mix it up. I've got everybody's name on a thing. We'll just mix it up and take them whatever random order we draw them in, and we'll go back and do some interviews.
I think that's all fine, just that people keep in mind that we print out a job description for an interim director, not to be confused with a permanent general manager. So this position is really tailored as an interim. So I just wanted the public to remember that there is a time limit on this position, and the job description is different from the general manager.
But with that in mind, we did not want to exclude any interim hire from applying for the general manager position if they were so inclined. So. Is everybody okay with that process?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right, so why don't we jump right into it. Why don't we ask Mr. Hollenbeck if he's willing to come up and address the board. We're going to start the egg timer. When the light turns red, well, thank you for your time. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. My name is John Hollenbeck. I reside in Atascadero. I'm currently the Nacimiento Project Manager. I work for the Public Works Department in the County of San Luis Obispo. Obviously, I was following the newspaper and realized you had an opening. Timing-wise, may not work out so well. I'm still engaged in what I'm doing on the Nacimiento Water Project. The project is flowing water. However, there's still a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. I have one claim that's a lawsuit, civil suit, from one contractor. I had five construction contracts. I have two that are closed. I have one that's about ready to close. I have one that has filed Tort Claims Act, a lawsuit against the county. I'm working on that. That's what I was doing just before I got here. And I have another one that has filed notice of doing that, but they are working diligently with us to try to settle that. That said, I have also an issue up at the intake, up at the lake, where the intake pipe has collapsed due to some external loads from the lake. I'm not going to go into the details of that. I'll be happy to if you want to know them. But basically, that needs to be repaired. And I'm the best qualified right now at the county to manage that. A little bit about myself. You wanted to know about myself. I have a master's degree in civil engineering. Both my BS and MS are from Kansas State University. I was born and raised on a farm in northeast Kansas. Folks out here tell me I have an accent. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but that is what they tell me. I love civil engineering. I've worked in hydraulic structures my entire career. Spent 17 and a half years at Black & Veatch working on hydroelectric plants and pumping stations. Left there, went to an engineering firm in Glendale, local California firm called Bookman Edmonston. They got bought by GEI Consultants, which is headquartered out of Boston. It was still kind of a small firm. I was vice president there before I left to come manage the Nice Meadow Water Project. That's all I've done day and night for the last over 6 years. The Nice Meadow Water Project was completed on time and $2 million under budget is what my projection is. Could be a little more than that, could be a little less than that, but right now that's what I put out in the newspapers, and I stick by that. I saw your opening here. I was interested, but as I'll tell you in closed session, what my true timeline is, it may not necessarily meet your timeline, but be happy to answer your questions at that time.
That's fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next individual was Mr. Rick Kuhn.
Good evening. My name is Rick Kuhn. Thank you for having me. I'm a resident of rural Rio Grande, just up on the Mesa. I've been in this county for 30 years. Currently, I am the general manager of San Miguelito Mutual Water Company. I have commitments that take my time about 10 hours a week at San Miguelito. We are San Luis Bay Estates, have a water and sewer treatment plant facility. I'm here to offer my services as interim general manager. Staff obviously has stepped up to the plate recently, and they have done a good job in reading their reports online. And I'm here to handle the issues that the board has to keep them moving and to solve them. I offer a lot of common sense, outside-the-box thinking at times when it's needed. Again, I'm local. I'm born and raised here. I have history in Oceano. I was actually the surveyor when this building first went in when I worked for the civil engineering company. So I'm here, and any questions you have to ask me, you can ask me. Thank you.
No, well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kuhn. Next up we had was, and I apologize if I've mispronounced your name, Thomas Gieslin.
Good evening. My name is Tom Gieslin. My mother calls me Thomas, and you have to put it on the resume that way. I am one of the few guys that has been in Napomo since 1960, and I stayed till I went to school, went up into the Bay Area for 25 years, and then was fortunate enough to move back. I've been extremely active in the Napomo community, and by my resume that I've submitted, you have seen a fairly large scope of my professional history. I have a lot of experience in several different areas. I've had management responsibility in large corporations as well as small corporations. I've attended a few of your meetings. I've attended a lot of Oceano functions. I've got to know a couple of the board members and a couple of the people in the community very well. And when I submitted my resume, I also submitted a two-page plan of action. Because this isn't just coming into a job that needs where you can come in and the job's going to be there. This is a very, very tenuous situation from everything that I've read, and it's going to require somebody that's got a lot of turnaround skills, the ability to make the hard, ask the hard questions, and make the hard decisions. And once we get through that, to help find a capable replacement for as the formal general manager. I also would like to point out that with the way that budgets are being cut and the way when I hear today people saying their water bills have doubled, and I live in Napomo and we're going through a stressful time there with potential supplemental water, that the most transparency that you can have in these situations is the best. And if I have this position, I will make sure that people are well aware of everything that goes on, because it's your community and our community. And we're going to need to add not only just private solutions, but public solutions, and find ways to intermix both corporate and utilities together so that we can come with some viable solutions. And I'm looking forward to answering questions inside the deal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Keyes. Thank you. The next name was Malcolm McEwen.
Yes, my name is Malcolm McEwen. I live outside of Arroyo Grande, a couple of miles inland from the Pismo Beach Pier. I first started working for you folks, Oceano Community Services District, I believe back in 2002 or 2003 when I went to work for Gehring Taylor Associates. Mm-hmm. And I worked on a lot of water and sewer line replacement projects, some of them necessitated by that earthquake that happened around Christmas time. And there was a lot of slipping and sliding in the lagoon area here. So I have a bit of history with your water and sewer systems here. I look forward to working with the board and carrying out your desires. I come here as, if I get the job, to be an instrument of your wishes to make happen what you need to see happen. In terms of my background, you'll see there I have a master's degree in engineering from UC Davis, and I have a bachelor's degree in mathematics. I've worked as a civil engineer. I'm a licensed civil engineer. I've worked at a number of different jobs in a number of different locations. The reason I'd like this job is I've worked for a lot of different boards, a lot of different special districts. Right now I'm doing a small job for Mission Hills Community Service District. I've worked for some of the cities around here. And one of the things those jobs have always lacked for me is that ownership. You know, and so in terms of what I'm looking forward to, if I get this position and if it works out and you enjoy my performance and want to keep me on permanently, is that becoming part of a system, to know it and run it from top to bottom, from personnel issues to regulatory issues to what's the water pressure to what's your water bill, those sort of things. I look forward to working with you on that. And I think there's plenty of information on my resume and cover letter there, and I'll be happy to answer any other of your other questions. We're going to be meeting in closed session.
Yes.
Following this? Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you.
Final candidate is David Kulinski.
Good evening. My name is David Kulinski. I was actually born at Sierra Vista Hospital. My mother was born at Sierra Vista Hospital, and she died at Sierra Vista Hospital, so I'm established in the community. When I was about 11, I moved up to the Bay Area in Napa Valley, graduated from high school, went and served 4 wonderful years in the United States Air Force. I also served on the Air Force Honor Guard team, where we went around the country and did parades and honored our deceased veterans. I've traveled the world. I've seen the good side of up and upside of down and everything in between. After I got out of the military, I came back here. I graduated from Cal Poly, summa cum laude. My degree is in Bachelor of Science, Business Administration with concentration in Finance and Accounting. And in between, I took an intern job for a company called Financial Marketing Services. They go around the country and open up banks. I was the VP of Finance. And unfortunately, nobody's opening a bank right now. I can't blame them. I wouldn't open a bank either.
Well, I'm glad that we have so many applicants so soon. And if I would be in your position, I'd be very skeptical. I would be very protective of my district, and I would want to. They can look good on paper. They can look good at the podium. My question would be, can they roll up their sleeves, get down in a ditch, and fix it? Do they know exactly what equipment needs to be, you know, what they would need for the job? I mean, can they design a schematic as well? If a certain section of Oceana needs the water system completely redone, would they be ready to map out a sketch and say, this is what should be done? And my what if would be, let's say water's getting lost somewhere along the system. What types of equipment would they pull out? What would they do? What would be their emergency plan of action to figure out where that water was getting lost in the system? And what equipment measures gallons per minute?
Any other public comment?
Thank you.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you. Good evening, Jeff Edwards. I guess my comments would be along these lines, and that is, well, I think it's important that candidates have experience, local experience, and have been here. I think it's also very important that they be independent, and that they be independent once they're hired, that they be independent representatives of this district. I think that's one of the things that's been lacking in the past, based on my observations, is that this board and this district, in my view, has not had independent representation for some time. And it's not an easy thing when you're in a close community, but I think it's important that these candidates not have allegiances to any of the local cities, Pismo, AG, or Grover. I think it's important that they not be part of the old guard of this district, either in former employees or staff here. I think it's important that they not be affiliated with Wallace or Gehring and Taylor in the past, because this is all part of the past, and there are some parts of it that aren't you don't want to revisit. The county, Public Works. While you need to deal with Public Works, and it's, you know, there has to be a respectful relationship, but not a good old boy relationship. Mm-hmm. So I just urge you to make sure the candidates are independent and will represent this district and not their old employee or their old city or where they live now or what have you, and they show that true independence. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Karen?
Karen White, Halcyon. I would ask the board to ask these candidates what their view is on the sale of Oceano water rights. And I would like that to be made public, because I'm really concerned about that one issue, that these are all people with engineering and water backgrounds. And I'd like to know who's here to sell our water and who's here to help the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, I think the next thing, should we announce the order of interviews, or should we?
What are we going to do?
I think we just go in the back and maybe do them in the lobby. I mean, there's a table there we can all sit at. That way the public doesn't have to leave. Is that to make the most sense?
Were you on a... Use the same list, or we draw?
Well, I shuffled these up, so I don't know what order they're in. Should we announce ahead of time who will be first, second?
Yeah.
Okay.
So somebody wants.
I'll let Director Hurdle announce.
Okay, Rick Kuhn, one. David Kolinsky, two. John Hollenbeck, three. Malcolm McCune, four. And Thomas Gieslin.
Tom.
Five.
Tom. Okay. Why don't we adjourn to closed session then for interviews? So we would invite Mr. Kuhn to return. We're going to go to the back. We have a lobby, and there's a table in there. Mr. Kuhn, we'll just go in back and meet you back there.
Do we have to cite the number for closed session, just for the record? Is it?
There's
usually a...
Before we make our announcement... Not seeing anybody standing up, public comment will be closed. We have interviewed each of the candidates. We were very well pleased with the interviews. And as a result of those interviews, there's been a decision by the board to ask Mr. Thomas Gieslin if he would like to be our interim general manager and meet with the committee tomorrow to finalize the contract. Thank you. And for the record, Mr. Gieslin has said that he will. We would like to thank each of the other applicants personally for coming down and meeting with us. We really feel like we could have spent a couple hours with each person, but we're very encouraged. We think we're going to have a rudder back on this ship tomorrow morning. And so... Okay. Any other board comment?
No, I just like to put that into a motion, GP, and Sure. So I'll make that motion that the board has decided to ask Tom to be the interim general manager.
Second.
All in favor?
Do we have a roll call?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we need a roll call? I'm sorry.
Director Lucy?
Yes. No. Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Guerrero?
Yes. And so the motion carries by a vote of 5-0.
Chairman, Thelma and I will work on fleshing out the contract and get Mr. Gieselin's help. We'll get a contract and get it over to everybody for review.
Do you guys want to suggest a time to meet with Mr. Gieselin tomorrow?
About 11. Well, I have a story.
Okay.
Tomorrow afternoon. I can't give a time right now because I don't know if my staff's going to show up, to be honest.
Okay. What I will suggest then is that you guys exchange phone numbers and arrange a mutually convenient time, if that works for you. Giselle Naylor has a question. I don't know if we can answer it, but we'll try. Giselle.
Question beforehand because everybody was waiting to find out what your decision was. But can you, I don't know if you'd be willing to do this, but I want to know why you chose the person that you chose. What types of qualities did you look for and what did you feel were the strengths coming? What types of qualities did you think were the most important qualities for the job?
I think briefly, we were very impressed with his resume. He also came forward with a very detailed plan for getting Oceano's ship back in order and had a very strong knowledge of the issues and solutions for those issues as well.
He was an individual that did come with solutions, and not only with solutions, but solutions that he put in print that you can hold him accountable for, and the fact that he did a lot of studying specifically to Oceano's problems. And I mean, he talked about from why we bought the computer system that we did to and really valid things that the board has really looked at ourselves, and very high finances, wanting to improve the morale and community energy, as well as a very professional stance of how to run the office, a user-friendly office for the people, by the people, managing the money, first priorities, finding out where the money is, and possibly where the money went. These are things that we need to know. I think he was a very, very strong candidate, as well as the others. I mean, it was very close in our decision-making process. But he came out, in the board's opinion, to be the best. And I think that, given the opportunity, that the residents will see that too.
And I'd just like to say to the public that the board asked from 1 to 11 different questions all the same. And we scored each individual. And when we added up all of our scores, Tom was on the top. So
I felt that also that his ability to do the research and understand where we are really shortened the learning curve, which is very cost effective for everybody in play. So that was my choice. Unless there's something time sensitive, and that that we deal with 7. And then we table. Do we have to do an oath of office?
Well, the contract negotiates, and you guys wanted to talk to him tomorrow and finalize the details. So I think that.
So we table that too. Yeah.
We can actually do the oath of office for the next meeting.
On the 13th. I'm sorry.
Right.
So we actually have 3 weeks.
Okay, and that we. And actually, there's a couple of the administrative items
that will be transferred over to the general manager, and I don't know whether to do that now or pull it from the agenda, but C would be a general manager decision, D would be a general manager or staff recommendation, I should say. And I don't want to modify that. Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to table it right now, but in hopes that people would understand that these would fall under staff activities.
Right.
The board oversees the general manager, the engineer, and the fire chief. And that's the staff that we oversee and our legal counsel. We don't handle other subcontractors. That's left up to the general manager's discretion.
Director Hurdle asked an important question.
Can I just finish?
No, please finish. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then back to the agenda. So we would table 8, B, C, D, and E. Do public comment, small board discussion, and then adjourn. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
So that just narrows it down to the warrants, which are, you know, the checks, paying the bills.
And we also have
public comment.
8H, which is the closed session.
Oh, yeah. Is that time sensitive, or do we have to table?
That is time session. It's time sensitive.
It is time sensitive.
Yes.
Okay, so after public comment, then I would recommend that we go back into closed session with legal counsel and table 9 and 10. And then that way the public can leave and we can stay here for the night. So it'd be the warrants, public comment, small board discussion, back into closed session with legal counsel, and then adjourn.
Okay. I would just like to say under item 10D, I have no reports.
Okay. Should we go to public comment then on the items that were taken off? Elizabeth Ray has left. Nancy Castle? Not seeing any public. Is there any other public comment? Oh, is that her? I'm sorry, ma'am.
So we accepted the agenda, how that, guess we all agreed? Okay.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Castle. And if you're tabling item 8D on PEG access pass-through funds, then I don't really need to speak this evening because that was the item I was going to speak on.
Which one, ma'am? I'm sorry.
PEG.
PEG. Okay.
So
you can go ahead if you'd like to make public comment on it.
Well, I'm with AGP Video, and we're the ones that provide the services for the videotaping of the meetings, and I was just going to be here to help explain the PEG access pass-through funds if any help was needed. The primary thing is recognizing that the monies come from the cable subscribers. It's a fund that is a line item on cable bills. And the way the franchise agreement and actually the FCC set up is that the money is supposed to be spent on capital improvements. And my recommendation and hope that your consideration would be to improve the audio system here, because that would be a very appropriate expenditure of the funds to improve the quality of the video recordings. And then it would have the added benefit of any other meetings held here would have a better audio system. And when it does appear on the agenda again, I will try and make it back in case there are further questions, or I'll work with the new general manager. So thank you for your time, and have a good rest this evening when you get to it.
Thank you very much, Rena.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Should we adjourn into closed session?
Yeah.
It's going to cost the district about 59 cents each to get this printed and mailed out in the old traditional way. And Barbara Mann and many, many people from the community took boxes of newsletters. Many directors took boxes of newsletters and folded them and peeled and stuck them. And I want to thank people because that brought the cost of it down to 14 cents each piece versus 59 cents. And so, you know, I really wanted to thank people, you know, Wintership for coming in and Sally and a lot of people for helping out on that project. But I wanted to take a moment to ask staff if you could do, Carol Ann, if you could do a brief description on the discrepancies in the water bill so everybody's clear on the timelines.
Yes.
Okay, and the rate increase. Okay. So use your mic.
You have a microphone?
No, your microphone for the...
Yes, I have one right here.
The one in front of you.
I have one.
Okay, they just need to be able to hear you.
Okay, as I handed out to you guys one of these, on the March bill, the March billing dates were January 18th through February 28th. And the reason why we... And that's approximately 6 weeks. And the reason for that is because of the implementation timeline from Tyler. We had to make sure we had our meters read March 1st so that we could have the conversion and the tape ready to send to Tyler by the 15th. So that's why the second bill, the bill that you guys have now, read March 1st through May 18th. So that was approximately 10 to 11 weeks. And it was because of the implementation timeline through Tyler. So the next billing cycle should be right on track. You know, the 18th of May through May, July 18th. And so it should be approximately 8 weeks.
So to summarize it, you'd say instead of it being an 8-week billing
exactly.
period, it was a 10-week billing period.
Yes.
And that, and on top of those additional 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
on your bill, there was a rate increase
exactly.
as well.
Of $22.52.
So will the next bill be an 8-week period?
Yes, it should.
Okay. So there should be some relief there
exactly.
for some people.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would also like to thank my neighbors for assisting in the packaging of the mail-outs that went, Bill and Marge Smith. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, there was also something that came up, and Marie McGrath helped facilitate this. I have a niece that graduated from high school June 10th, and they had to do community work service hours. We had a high school student in doing community work service hours, stuffing or folding these things, and so that worked out very well for us as well. And I think maybe we can make that available as an opportunity to some of our local AG High students or Napomo High students to come in and help around the district. So,
yeah, when someone's sentenced to, you know, community hours, we'll take them too.
I get plenty of those people.
I bet you do, Matt.
Yeah, I do a ton. Giselle Naylor had a comment about the water billing periods.
Oh, God. Okay, so this will be the last public comment, and then we're going to warrants. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Giselle.
This is just an observation, which I'm sure I can work with Carol Ann tomorrow. She's better at math than I am. But what I didn't understand, even though we had a longer billing period, I didn't notice any change in when I got billed. So it seems like I was still paying every 8 weeks, like, you know, once every 2 months. So that extra 2 weeks, I'm going to have to get with Carol Ann tomorrow and figure out from date to date exactly where my bills started, the date that they started and the date that they ended, because there's a 2-week period. The way I'm looking at it is maybe there was an overlap. Was there a double bill? But I'll deal with that tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Giselle. I'm turning to the warrants. Which is item 7 on the agenda. Is there any public comment on the warrants? Seeing none, is there any board comment?
Yeah. There's actually a couple here. I see that we have the Wallace Group in here. Started the engineering project on Beach, which was not board approved. That was a past staff project. And then there's contracted engineering for $3,000. And then more contracted engineering for $1,020. And then cleaning the water lines for $1,800. Until we get a more detailed line item description for these expenditures, I just don't feel comfortable releasing that yet.
Okay.
Harold works on the audits. And then also, too, is Moss, Levy, and Hertz, are they, which year are they doing on the audits?
09.
09? 9-10. 9-10 or 8-9? 8-9. 8-9? You know what? Until we see the final product of that, no. I can't support that because that's just been going on way too long. So I would ask that we withhold that payment till we see that draft, because I know that I've been promised that draft of the manager's recommendations, the auditor's recommendations, 7 weeks now, 6 weeks now. So I don't want to release that payment.
Is that in the motion?
I move that we withhold...
Wait, hold on. I have more comments.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself.
On the front page, Rafael Montemurro exit check.
No.
I don't believe that's in the correct amount.
Oh, we got to table that.
Yeah. And so I move that we table that as well. That is not the correct amount.
And also, too, is I had a question about that payroll track as well for... also, Ms. Ruiz, I would...
Ruiz or Diaz?
Pardon me?
Ruiz or Diaz?
Ruiz, Celia Ruiz.
Okay.
Is I would like an audit of those benefits. The hours worked, and so I'd like to review the timesheet on that, and look at the accrued time versus how much vacation time was taken. I'm just not sure that that's accurate.
I think you mean Alma Diaz, not Celia Ruiz.
Oh, not Celia, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we should direct staff to audit.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean Celia, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm asking for Alma's. Yes, I just not feeling the love there.
Okay. So we should direct staff to do an audit of Alma Diaz and whether or not the sick and vacation time that's showing is
accurate.
Accurate.
And also to his timesheet.
To verify the timesheet.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And is that the final paycheck on this one?
For Ms. Diaz?
Yes.
I believe it is.
I believe that it is as well.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you legally obligated to pay within a certain time?
That's what I'm getting ready to, yeah.
Yes.
So if you table it, you should probably check with counsel and find out what you're... ramifications are for not paying during that time period.
Can I make a reply to that?
Yes.
That payroll that you're looking at there is from the previous payroll, so it doesn't fall in that category. She's been paid for those hours.
So these are already past tense?
Right.
The one for Raphael also, right?
Yes.
When we have
the, yes.
Yes.
So this is just a payroll report, not a disbursement?
So would you say that is it just payroll that's been disbursed or all these items?
That report on the payroll was for the payroll that was dispersed on the 10th of June.
Okay, what about the contractors on this one, ma'am? Such as withholding the Wallace payment, has that been also paid out already?
No, the checks are in there to be.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Wallace actually comprises 2 months' worth. It's, I believe, March.
And then we withhold the invoice from Moss, Levy, and Hart until we get the draft from the audit report. The draft executive summary. So, second to that?
I second that.
Oh, there it is, Hart.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Turning our attention to item 8H, public comment. I do have a request from Kathy Young.
Kathy Young, Oceano. Also want to comment that the agenda looked really nice tonight and everything went real smooth. It was written very well and we didn't see any typos or anything. As far as the closed session goes, under the California Fair Political Practices, board members are to perform their duties impartially without bias or conflict of interest. And I'm concerned that since Ms. Dean was, I realize this is a separate issue, but was declared the prevailing party in the action against the board in Ms. Angelo, and Ms. Angelo is appealing that decision, it would be a conflict of interest for her to participate in the decision regarding Ms. Dean's small claims action. And I also feel Mr. Searcy would be unable to impartially and without bias participate in that decision also. At a board meeting when the other lawsuit was going on, he made very negative public comments about Ms. Dean regarding her suit, stating publicly that the judge laughed her out of court. I attended all those hearings. The judge not only laughed her out of court, but ruled in her favor. So I think it would be difficult to say that Mr. Searcy is impartial or without bias. I know she's asking her to be reimbursed for her driveway that was being tore up. That was tore up, and Mr. Montemurro directed water yard employees to go on her property when she wasn't home, damaged her driveway, and then the board voted against paying for the repairs. So she had no choice but to go to small claims to get that paid. So I'm asking that the board members go into this closed session and reimburse her for the cost she incurred. I think it would only be fair. It would show your willingness to repair past damages and do what is right and not waste more court time and district money. You could go and settle that without going to court. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Shall we adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9?
Which means what?
Which means we go into closed session regarding pending litigation. Back in session from the closed session. There's no reportable action. Except that I will note that Director Angelo recused herself from the discussion, and so the rest of the four of us did meet. And I left my agenda back.
Adjourn.
Yep. Any motion? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Also move.
Were there any decisions like total?
No, there's no reportable action, Giselle.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to appear at court.
There's no reportable action, Kathy.
Well, somebody has to. Well, it doesn't go to the presumption.
And the answer to the question really is I don't know. The question was who's going to appear at court, and the answer is I don't know. So. So we have a motion from Director Lucy to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Searcy. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Have a good night.